Fantastic Mr. Fox, Chapter 8. The Foxes Begin to Starve. That evening, three tents were put up in the crater on the hill. One for Bogus, one for Bunce, and one for Bean. The tents surrounded Mr. Fox's hole, and the three farmers sat outside their tents eating their supper. Bogus had three boiled chickens smothered in dumplings. Bunce had six doughnuts filled with disgusting goose liver pâté. And Bean had 2 gallons of cider. Gosh, that's a lot. All three of them kept their guns beside them. Bogus picked up a steaming chicken and held it close to the fox's hole. "Can you smell this, Mr. Fox?" he shouted. "Lovely, tender chicken. Why don't you come up and get it?" The rich scent of chicken wafted down the tunnel to where the foxes were crouching. "Oh, Dad," said one of the small foxes, "couldn't we just sneak up and snatch it out of his hand?" "Don't you dare," said Mrs. Fox. "That's just what they want you to do."
"But we're so hungry," they cried.
"How long will it be till we get something to eat?" Their mother didn't answer them, nor did their father. There was no answer to give. As darkness fell, Bunce and Bean switched on the powerful headlamps on the two tractors and shone them on the hole. "Now," said Bean, "we'll take it in turn to keep watch. One watches while two sleep, and so on all through the night." Bogus said, "What if the fox digs a hole right through the hill and comes out on the other side? You didn't think of that one, did you?" "Of course I did," said Bean, pretending he had. "Go on then, tell us the answer," said Bogus. Bean picked something small and black out of his ear and flicked it away. "How many men have you got working on your farm?"
25, Bogus said.
"I've got 36, Bunce said.
"And I've got 37, Bean said. "That makes 108 men altogether.
We must order them to surround the hill. Each man will have a gun and a flashlight. There will be no escape then for Mr. Fox."
My goodness.
So the order went down to the farms, and that night 108 men formed a tight ring around the bottom of the hill. They were armed with sticks and guns and hatchets and pistols and all sorts of other horrible weapons. This made it quite impossible for a fox, or indeed any other animal, to escape from the hill. The next day, the watching and waiting went on. Bogus and Bunce and Bean sat upon small stools, staring at Fox's hole. They didn't talk much. They just sat there with their guns on their laps. Every so often, Mr. Fox would creep a little closer towards the mouth of the tunnel and take a sniff. Then he would creep back again and say, "They're still there."
"Are you quite sure?" Mrs. Fox would ask.
"Positive," said Mr. Fox. "I can smell that man Bean a mile away. He stinks."
Chapter 9. Mr. Fox Has a Plan. For 3 days and three nights, this waiting game went on.
"How long can a fox go without food or water?" Bogus asked on the third day.
"Not much longer now," Bean told him. "He'll make a run for it soon. He'll have to."
Bean was right. Down in the tunnel, the foxes were slowly but surely starving.
"If only we could have just a tiny sip of water," said one of the small foxes.
"Dad, can't you do something?"
"Couldn't we make a dash for it, Dad? We'd have a little bit of a chance, wouldn't we?"
"No chance at all," snapped Mrs. Fox. "I refuse to let you go up there and face those guns. I'd sooner you stay down here and die in peace."
Mr. Fox had not spoken for a long time. He had been sitting quiet still, his eyes closed, not even hearing what the others were saying. Mrs. Fox knew he was trying desperately to think of a way out. And now, as she looked at him, she saw him stir and get slowly to his feet. He looked back at his wife. There was a little spark of excitement dancing in his eyes.
"What is it, darling?" said Mrs. Fox quickly.
"I've just had a bit of an idea," Mr. Fox said carefully.
"What?" they cried.
"Oh, Dad, what is it?"
"Come on," said Mrs. Fox. "Tell us quickly."
"Well," said Mr. Fox, and he stopped and sighed and sadly shook his head. He sat down again.
"It's no good. It won't work after all."
"Why not, Dad?"
"Because it means more digging. And we aren't any of us strong enough for that after 3 days and nights without food."
"Yes, we are, Dad," cried the small foxes, jumping up and running to their father. "We can do it. You see if we can't. So can you."
Mr. Fox and the four small foxes. He smiled.
"What fine children I have," he thought. "They're starving, and they haven't had a drink for 3 days, but they're still undefeated. I must not let them down."
"I suppose we could give it a try," he said.
"Let's go, Dad. Tell us what you want us to do."
Slowly, Mrs. Fox got to her feet. She was suffering more than any of them from the lack of food and water. She was very weak.
"I'm so sorry," she said, "but I don't think I'm going to be able to help."
"You stay right where you are, my darling," said Mr. Fox. "We can handle this by ourselves."
Boggis's Chicken House, number one.
"This time we must go in a very special direction," said Mr. Fox, pointing sideways and downwards. So he and his four children started to dig once again. The work went much more slowly now, yet they kept at it with great courage, and little by little the tunnel began to grow.
"Dad, I wish you would tell us where we're going," said one of the children.
"I dare not do that," said Mr. Fox, "because this place I am hoping to get to is so marvellous that if I describe it to you now, you would go crazy with excitement, and then if we failed to get there, which is very possible, you would be very disappointed. I don't want to raise your hopes too much, my darlings." For a long time they kept on digging, and for how long they did not know, because there was no days and no nights down there in the murky tunnel. But at last Mr. Fox gave the order to stop.
"I think we had better take a peep upstairs now and see where we are. I know where I want to be, but I can't possibly be sure we're anywhere near it."
Slowly, wearily, the foxes began to slope the tunnel upwards to the surface. Up and up it went, until suddenly they came to something hard above their heads. They couldn't go up any further. Mr. Fox reached up to examine the hard thing. "It's wood. Wooden planks."
"What does that mean, Dad?"
"It means, unless I'm very much mistaken, that we are right underneath somebody's house. Be very quiet now. I will take a peek." Carefully, Mr. Fox began pushing up the floorboards. The board creaked most terribly, and they all ducked down, waiting for something awful to happen. Nothing did. So Mr. Fox pushed up a second board, and then, very, very cautiously, he poked his head up through the gap. He let out a shriek of excitement.
"I've done it," he yelled. "I've done it first time. I have done it."
He pulled himself up through the gap in the floor and started prancing and dancing with joy.
"Come on up," he sang out. "Come on up and see where we are."
What a sight for hungry foxes. Hallelujah, hooray, hooray. The four small foxes scrambled up the tunnel, and what a fantastic sight it was that now met their eyes. They were in a huge shed, and the whole place was teeming with chickens. There were white chickens, brown chickens, black chickens by the thousand. "Boggis's Chicken House, number one," cried Mr. Fox, "is exactly what I was aiming at. I hit it slap in the middle, first time. Isn't that fantastic? And if I may say so, rather clever." The small foxes went wild with excitement. They started running around in all directions, chasing the stupid chickens.
"Wait," ordered Mr. Fox. "Don't lose your head. Stand back, calm down, and let's do this properly. First of all, everyone have a drink."
They all ran over to the chickens' drinking trough and lapped up the lovely cool water. Then Mr. Fox chose three of the plumpest hens and, with a clever flick of his jaws, killed them instantly. "Back to the tunnel," he ordered. "Come on."
"No.
No fooling around. The quicker you move, the quicker you shall have something to eat." One after another, they climbed down through the hole in the floor, and soon they were all standing once again in the dark tunnel. Mr. Fox reached up and pulled the floorboards back into place. He did this with great care. He did it so that no one could tell that they had ever been moved. "My son," he said, giving the three plump hens to the biggest of his four small children, "run back with these to your mother and tell her to prepare a feast. Tell her the rest of us will be along in a jiffy as soon as we have made a few other little arrangements." Chapter 11. A Surprise for Mrs. Fox. The small fox ran back along the tunnel as fast as he could, carrying three plump hens. He was just exploding with joy. "Just wait," he kept thinking. "Just wait till Mummy sees." He had a long way to go, but never stopped once on the way, and he came bursting in upon Mrs. Fox.
"Mummy," he cried, Look, Mummy, wake up and see what I brought you. Mrs. Fox, who was weaker than ever now from lack of food, opened one eye and looked at the hens. I'm dreaming, she murmured, and closed her eyes again. You're not dreaming, Mummy. They're real chickens. We're saved. We're not going to starve. Mrs. Fox opened both eyes and sat up quickly. But my dear children, where on earth? Bogus's chicken house, number one. We tunneled right up under the floor, and you've never seen so many big fat hens in all your life. And Dad said to prepare a feast, that he'll be back soon. The sight of food seemed to give new strength to Mrs. Fox. A feast it shall be, she said, standing up. Oh, what a fantastic fox your father is. Hurry up, child, and start plucking those chickens. Far away down the tunnel, the fantastic Mr. Fox was saying, Now, for the next bit, my darlings, this one will be easy as pie. All we have to do is dig another tunnel from here to there. To where, Dad? Don't ask so many questions and start digging. Chapter 12, Badger. Mr. Fox and the three remaining small foxes dug fast and straight. They were all too excited now to feel tired or hungry. They knew they were going to have a great feast before long, and the fact that it was none other than Mr. Boggess's chickens they were going to eat made them chuckle, that's a good one, with laughter every time they thought of it. It was lovely to realise that while the fat farmer was sitting up there on the hill waiting for them to starve, he was also giving them dinner, without knowing it. Keep digging, said Mr. Fox. It's not much farther. All of a sudden, a deep voice above their heads said, Who goes there? The foxes jumped. They looked up quickly, and they saw, peeking through a small hole in the roof of the tunnel, a long, black, pointed, furry face. Badger! Cried Fox. Foxy! Cried Badger. My goodness, I'm glad I found someone at last. I've been digging around in circles for 3 days and nights, and I haven't the foggiest idea where I am. Badger made a hole in the ceiling bigger and dropped down beside the foxes. A small badger, his son, dropped down after him. Haven't you heard what's happening on the hill? Badger said excitedly. It's chaos. Half the wood has disappeared. And there are men with guns all over the countryside. None of us can get out, even at night. We're all starving to death. Who's we? All us diggers. That's me, Mole, Rabbit, and all the wives and children. Even Weasel, who can usually sneak out in the tightest spots, is right now hiding down my hole with Mrs. Weasel and 6 kids. What on earth are we going to do? I think we're finished. Mr. Fox looked at his 3 children and smiled. The children smiled back at him, sharing his secret. My dear old Badger, he said, this mess you're in is all my fault. I know it's your fault, said Badger furiously, and the farmers are not going to give up until they've got you. Unfortunately, that means us as well. It means everyone on the hill. Badger sat down and put a paw around his small son. We're done for, he said. My poor wife is up there, so weak she can't dig another yard. Nor can mine, said Mr. Fox. And yet, at this very minute, she's preparing for me and my children the most delicious feast of plump, juicy chickens. Stop, cried Badger. Don't tease me. I can't stand it. It's true, cried the small foxes. Dad's not teasing. We've got chickens galore. And because everything is entirely my fault, said Mr. Fox, I invite you to share the feast. I invite everyone to share it. You, Mole, Rabbit and Weasel, all your wives and children. There'll be plenty to go around, I can assure. You mean it, cried Badger. You really mean it? Mr. Fox pushed his face close to Badger's and whispered darkly, Do you know where we've just been? Where? Right inside Bogus's chicken house, number one. No. Yes. But there's nothing to where we're going now. You have come at just the right moment, my dear Badger. You can help us dig. And in the meanwhile, your small son can run back to Mrs. Badger and all the others and spread the good news. Mr. Fox turned to the small badger and said, Tell them. Tell them they're invited to a fox's feast. Then bring them all down here and follow this tunnel back until you find my home. Yes, Mr. Fox, said the small badger. Yes, sir, right away. Oh, thank you, sir. And he scrambled quickly through the hole in the roof and into the tunnel and disappeared. Chapter 13. Bunce's Giant Storehouse. Oh, my. My dear Foxy, cried Badger, what in the world has happened to your tail? Don't talk about it, please. It's a very painful subject. They were digging a new tunnel, and they dug on in silence. Badger was a great digger, and the tunnel went forward at a terrific pace now that he was leading the paw. Soon they were crouching under yet another wooden floor. Mr. Fox grinned slyly, showing sharp white teeth. "If I am not mistaken, my dear Badger, we are now underneath the farm which belongs to the nasty pot-bellied Bunts. We are in fact directly underneath the most interesting part of that farm."
"Ducks and geese?" cried small foxes. "Juicy tender ducks and big fat geese?"
"Exactly."
"But how in the world can you know where we are?"
Mr. Fox grinned again, showing even more white teeth.
"Look, I know my way around these farms blindfold. For me, it's just as easy below ground as it is above."
He reached high and pushed one of the floorboards and then another and poked his head through the gap.
"Yes, I've done it again.
I hit smack on the nose right in the bullseye. Come and look." Quickly, Badger and the three small foxes scrambled up. They stopped and stared. They stood and gaped. They were so overwhelmed they couldn't speak. For what they now saw was a kind of fox's dream, a badger's dream, a paradise, for hungry animals. "This, my dear old Badger," proclaimed Mr. Fox, "is Bunce's mighty storehouse. Apologies, my tongue's not working today. All his finest stuff is stored in here before he sends it off to market. Against all the four walls of the great room, stacked in cupboards and piled upon shelves, reaching from floor to ceiling, were thousands and thousands of the finest and fattest ducks and geese, plucked and ready for roasting. And up above, dangling from the rafters, there must have been at least 100 smoked hams, 50 sides of bacon. Just feast your eyes on that," cried Mr. Fox, dancing up and down. "What do you think of it, eh? Pretty good grub." Suddenly, as though the springs had been released in their legs, the three hungry small foxes and the ravenously hungry badger sprang forward to grab the luscious food.
"Stop," ordered Mr. Fox. "This is my party, so I'll do the choosing."
The others fell back, licking their chops. Mr. Fox began prowling around the storehouse, examining the glorious display with an expert eye. A thread of saliva slid down one of his jaws and hung suspended in midair and then snapped. "We mustn't overdo it," he said. "Mustn't give the game away. Mustn't let them know what we've been up to. We must be neat and tidy and take just a few of the choicest morsels. So to start with, we should have four plump young ducks." He took them from the shelf. "Oh, how lovely and fat they are. No wonder Bunce gets a special price for them in the market." "All right, Badger, lend me a hand to get them down. You children can help as well. There we go. Goodness me. Look at your mouths all watering. And now, I think we had better have a few geese. Three will be quite enough. We'll take the biggest. Oh, my, you've never seen finer geese than these. Gently does it. That's the way. And what about a couple of nice smoked hams? I adore smoked ham. Don't you, Badger? Fetch me the stepladder, will you please?" Mr. Fox climbed up the ladder and handed down three magnificent hams. "And do you like bacon?"
"I'm mad about bacon," cried Badger, dancing with excitement.
"Let's have a side of bacon, that big one up there. And carrots, Dad. We must take some of those carrots."
"Don't be a twerp," said Mr. Fox. "You know we never eat things like that."
"It's not for us, Dad. It's for the rabbits. They only eat vegetables."
"Oh, my goodness, you're right,"
crowed Mr. Fox. "What a thoughtful little fellow you are. Take 10 bunches of carrots." Soon, all this lovely loot was lying in a neat heap upon the floor. The small foxes crouched close, their noses twitching and their eyes shining like stars. "And now," said Mr. Fox, "we shall have to borrow from our friend Bunce two of these useful pushcarts over in the corner. He and Badger fetch the pushcarts, and the ducks and the geese and the hams and bacon were loaded onto them. Quickly, the pushcarts were lowered through the hole in the floor and the animals slid down after them, back into the tunnel. Mr. Fox pulled the floorboards back into place so that no one could see that they had ever been moved. "My darlings," he said, pointing to two of the three small foxes, "take a cart each and run back as fast as you can to your mother. Give her my love and tell her that we have dinner guests. The badgers, the moles, the rabbits and the weasels, tell her it must be a truly great feast, and tell her the rest of us will be home as soon as we're done.
one more job. Yes, Dad, right away, Dad, they answered and grabbed the trolley and each went rushing off down the tunnel. Chapter 14. Badger has doubts. Just one more visit, cried Mr. Fox, and I'll bet I know where that'll be, said the only small fox now left. He was the smallest fox of all of them. Where? Asked Badger. Well, said the smallest fox, we've been to Boggis, and we've been to Bunce, and we haven't been to Bean. It must be Bean. You are right, said Mr. Fox, but what do you know is part of Bean's place we're about to visit? Which? Aha, said Mr. Fox, just you wait and see. They were digging as they talked, and the tunnel was going forward fast. Suddenly, Badger said, doesn't this worry you a tiny bit, Fox? Worry me, said Mr. Fox. What? All this stealing. Mr. Fox stopped digging and stared at Badger as though he had gone completely dotty. My dear old furry frump, do you know anyone in the whole world who wouldn't swipe a few chickens if his children were starving to death? There was a short silence while Badger thought. You are far too respectable, said Mr. Fox. There's nothing wrong with being respectable, said Badger. Look, Boggis, Bunce and Bean are out to kill us. You realise that? I do. I do indeed, said Badger. But we're not going to stoop to their level. We don't want to kill them. I should hope not. Indeed, said Badger. We wouldn't dream of it, said Mr. Fox. We shall simply take a little food from here and there to keep us and our families alive. I suppose we'll have to, said Badger. If they want to be horrible, let them, said Mr. Fox. We down here are decent, peace-loving people. Badger laid his head on one side and smiled. Fox, he said, I love you. Thank you, said Mr. Fox, and now let's get on with the digging. 5 minutes later, Badger's front paws hit against something flat and hard. What on earth is this? It looks like a solid stone wall. It was, but it was built of bricks, not stone. The wall was right in front of them, blocking their way. Now, who in the world would build a wall underground? Very simple, said Mr. Fox. It's the wall of an underground room, and if I am not mistaken, it is exactly what I'm looking for. Chapter 15. Bean's Secret Cider Cellar. Mr. Fox examined the wall carefully. He saw that the cement between the bricks was old and crumbling, and loosened a brick without much trouble and pulled it away. Suddenly, out of the hole where the brick had been, popped a small, sharp face with whiskers. Go away! You can't come in here, it's private. Good Lord, said Badger, it's a rat. You saucy beast, said Mr. Fox. I should have guessed we'd find you down here. Go away, shrieked the rat. Go on, this is my private pitch. Shut up, said Mr. Fox. I will not shut up, shrieked the rat. This is my place. I got here first. Mr. Fox gave a brilliant smile, flashing his white teeth. My dear rat, he said softly, I am hungry. And if you don't hop it quickly, I shall eat you in one gulp. That did it. Rat popped back fast out of sight, and Mr. Fox laughed and began pulling more bricks out of the wall. When he had made a biggish hole, he crept through it, and Badger and the smallest fox followed. They found themselves in a vast, damp, gloomy cellar. This is it, cried Mr. Fox. This is what? Said Badger. This place is empty. Where are the turkeys? I thought Bean was a turkey man. He is a turkey man, but we're not after turkeys now. We've got plenty of food. Then what do we need? Take a good look around. Don't you see anything that interests you? Badger and the smallest fox peered into the darkness. As their eyes became accustomed to the gloom, they began to see what looked like a whole lot of big glass jars standing upon shelves around the walls. They went closer. They were jars, hundreds of them. Hundreds upon hundreds, and on each one was written the word cider. The smallest fox leapt high in the air. Oh, Dad, look what we found. It's cider. Exactly, said Mr. Fox. Tremendous, shouted Badger. Bean's secret cider cellar. But go carefully, my dears, don't make noise. This cellar is right underneath the farmhouse itself. Cider, said Badger, is especially good for badgers. We take it as medicine, one large glass 3 times a day with meals and another at bedtime. It will make the feast into a banquet, said Mr. Fox. While they were talking, the smallest fox had sneaked a jar off the shelf and had taken a gulp.
"Wow," he gasped.
You must understand, this was not ordinarily weak fizzy cider one buys in a store. It was the real stuff, a home-brewed fiery liqueur that burned your throat and boiled in your stomach.
"Oh," gasped the smallest fox, "this is some cider."
"That's quite enough of that," said Mr. Fox, grabbing the jar and putting it to his own lips. He took a tremendous gulp. "It's miraculous," he whispered, fighting for breath. "It's fabulous, beautiful."
"It's my turn," said Badger, taking the jar and tilting his head back. The cider gurgled and bubbled down his throat. It's like melted gold," he gasped.
"Oh, like drinking sunbeams and rainbows."
"You're poaching," shrieked Rat. "Put that down at once. There'll be none left for me."
Rat was perched upon the highest shelf in the cellar, peering out from behind a huge jar. There was a small rubber tube inserted into the neck of the jar, and Rat was using his tube to suck out the cider.
"You're drunk," said Mr. Rat.
"Mind your own business," shrieked Rat. "And if you get clumsy, if you great clumsy brutes come messing around here, we'll all be caught. Get out and leave me to sip my cider in peace."
At that moment, they heard a woman's voice.
"Hurry up and get the cider, Mabel,"
the voice called. "You know Mr. Bean doesn't like to be kept waiting, especially when he's been out all night in a tent."
The animals froze. They stayed absolutely still, their ears pricked and their bodies tense. Then they heard the sound of the door being opened. The door was at the top of a flight of stone steps leading down from the house to the cellar. And now someone was starting to come down those steps.
Chapter 16. The Woman.
"Quick," said Mr. Fox. "Hide!"
He and Badger and the smallest fox jumped onto a shelf and crouched behind a row of big cider jars. Peering around the jars, he saw the huge woman coming down the cellar steps. At the foot of the steps, the woman paused, looking right and left. Then she turned her head and headed straight for the place where Mr. Fox and Badger and the smallest fox were hiding. She stopped right in front of them. The only thing between her and them was a row of cider jars. She was so close, Mr. Fox could hear the sound of her breathing. Peeping through the crack between two bottles, he noticed that she carried a rolling pin in one hand.
"How many will you want this time, Mrs. Bean?" the woman shouted, and from the top of the steps, the other voice called back. "Bring up two or three jars. He drank four yesterday."
"Yes, but he won't want that many today, because he's not going to be up there more than a few hours longer. He said the fox is bound to make a run for it this morning. I can't possibly stay down that hole another day without food."
The woman in the cellar reached out and lifted a jar of cider from the shelf. The jar she took was next but one to the jar behind which Mr. Fox was crouching.
"I'll be glad when that rotten brute is killed and strung up. And by the way, Mrs. Bean, your husband promised I could have the tail as a souvenir."
"The tail's been shot to pieces," said the voice from upstairs. "Didn't you know?"
"You mean it's ruined?"
"Of course it's ruined. They shot the tail, but Mr. Fox..."
"Oh, heck," said the woman. "I did so want that tail."
"You can have the head instead, Mabel. You can get it stuffed and hang it on your bedroom wall. Hurry up now with that cider."
Weird.
"Yes, ma'am. I'm coming," said the big woman, and she took a second jar from the shelf.
"If she takes one more, she'll see us," thought Mr. Fox.
He could feel the smallest fox body pressed tightly against his own, quivering.
"Will two be enough, or shall I take three?"
"My goodness, Mabel, I don't care, so long as you're going to move on."
"Then two it is," said the huge woman, speaking to herself. "He drinks too much anyway." Carrying a jar in each hand, and with the rolling pin tucked under one arm, she walked away across the cellar. At the foot of the steps, she paused and looked around.
"There's rats down here again, Mrs. Bean, I can smell them."
"Then poison them, woman, poison them. You know where the poison is kept?"
"Yes, ma'am,"
Mabel said. She climbed slowly out of sight up the steps, and the door slammed.
"Quick, grab a jar each and run for it."
Rat stood on a high shelf and shrieked.
"What did I tell you? You nearly got nabbed, didn't you? You nearly gave the game away. You keep out of here from now on. I don't want you around. This is my place."
"You," said Mr. Fox, "are going to be poisoned."
"Poppycock," said Rat. "I sit up here and watch her putting stuff down, and she'll never get me."
Mr. Fox, Badger, and the smallest fox
ran across the cellar, clutching a gallon jar each. "Goodbye, rat," they called as they disappeared through the hole. "Thanks for the cider." "Thieves, robbers, bandits and burglars," cried Rat. Chapter 17. Back in the tunnel, they paused so that Mr. Fox could bring up the hole in the wall. Oh, sorry, brick up the hole in the wall. He was humming to himself as he put the bricks back in place. "I can still taste that glorious cider. What an impudent fellow Rat is." "He has bad manners," Badger said. "All rats have bad manners. I've never met a polite rat yet. And he drinks too much." Putting the last brick in place, "There we are now. Home to feast," said Mr. Fox. They grabbed their jars of cider and off they went. Mr. Fox in front, the smallest fox came next, and Badger last. Along the tunnel they flew, past the turning that led to Bunce's mighty storehouse, past Boggess's chicken house number one, and then up the long home stretch towards a place where they knew Mrs. Fox would be waiting. "Keep it up, my darling," shouted Mr. Fox. "We'll soon be there. Think what's waiting for us at the other end, and just think what we'll bring home with us in these jars. That ought to cheer up poor Mrs. Fox. Home again, swiftly I glide, back to my beautiful bride. She'll not feel so rotten as soon as she's gotten some cider in her inside." Then Badger joined in. "Oh, poor Mrs. Badger," he cried, "so hungry she very nearly died. But she'll not feel so hollow if she'll swallow some cider in her inside." Oh, wow, the table's huge. They were still singing as they rounded the final corner and burst in upon the most wonderful and amazing sight of any of them had ever seen. The feast was just beginning. A large dining room had been hollowed out of the earth, and in the middle of it, seated around a large table, were no less than 29 animals. There were Mrs. Fox and three small foxes, Mrs. Badger and three small badgers, Mrs. Mole and four small moles, Mrs. Rabbit, Mr. Rabbit, and five small rabbits, Weasel and Mrs. Weasel, and six small weasels. The table was covered with chickens and ducks and geese and hams and bacon, and everyone was tucking into the lovely food. "My darlings," cried Mrs. Fox, jumping up and hugging Mr. Fox. "We couldn't wait. Please forgive us." Then she hugged the smallest fox of all, and Mrs. Badger hugged Badger, and everyone hugged everyone else. Amid shouts of joy, and great jars of cider were placed upon the table, and Mr. Fox and Badger and the smallest fox sat down with the others. You must remember that no one had eaten a thing for several days, and they were ravenous. So for a while, there was no conversation at all. There was only the sound of crunching, chewing, as the animals attacked the succulent food. At last, Badger stood up. He raised his glass of cider and called out, "A toast! I want you all to stand and drink a toast to our dear friend who has saved our lives this day, Mr. Fox." "To Mr. Fox," they shouted, standing up and raising their glasses. "To Mr. Fox, long may he live." Then Mrs. Fox got shyly to her feet and said, "I don't want to make a speech. I just want to say one thing. My husband is a fantastic fox." And everyone clapped and cheered. And Mr. Fox himself stood up. "This delicious meal," he began. Then he stopped. In the silence that followed, he let fly a tremendous burp. There was laughter and more clapping. "This delicious meal, my friends," he went on, "is by courtesy of Messrs. Boggess, Bunce and Bean." More cheering and laughter. "And I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have." He let fly with another colossal burp. "Better out than in," said Badger. "Thank you," said Mr. Fox, grinning hugely. "But now, my friends, let us be serious. Let us think of tomorrow and the next day and the days after that. If we go out, we will be killed. Right?" "Right," they shouted. "We'll be shot, but we will have gone before we have gone a yard." "Exactly," said Mr. Fox. "But who wants to go out anyway? Let me ask you that. We are all diggers, and every one of us, we hate outside. The outside is full of enemies. We only go out because we have to get food to eat for our families. But now, my friends, we have an entirely new setup. We have a safe tunnel leading to three of the finest stores in the world." "We do indeed," said Badger. "I've seen them." "And you know what this means," said Mr. Fox. "It means none of us need ever go out into the open again." There was a buzz of excitement around the table. "I therefore invite you all to stay here with me forever." "Forever," they cried. "My goodness, how marvellous." And Rabbit said to Mrs. Rabbit, "My dear, just think, we're never going to be shot at again." "We will make," said Mr. Fox, a little underground village, with streets and houses on each side, separate houses for badgers and moles and rabbits and weasels and foxes. And every day I will go shopping for you all, and every day we will eat like kings." The cheering that followed this speech went on for many minutes. Chapter 18. Still Waiting. Outside the fox's hole, Boggis and Bunce and Bean sat beside their tents with their guns on their laps. It was beginning to rain, and water was trickling down the necks of the three men and into their shoes. "You won't stay down there much longer now," Boggis said. "The brute must be famished," Bunce said. "That's right," Bean said. "He'll be making a dash for it any moment. Keep your guns handy." They sat there by the hole, waiting for the fox to come out. And as far as I know, they are still waiting. Thanks, everyone. That was brilliant. Who knew?